The biblical text I'm using today comes from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It's a small book, but it's just packed full of good things. It's a wonderful narrative. It's a story about ordinary people like us, who go through times of trial, who go through tragedy, but God always provides for them and brings them through. And I know you can relate to this. Now, speaking of providing, if you go further in the book of Ruth, in chapter 4, there's a genealogy, and it shows Ruth's family, and it goes all the way down to David. And you know whose ancestor David is, yeah? Sure, Jesus. I think it's cool when things point to the big picture. I like that. So there are Bibles on the tables around you. Feel free to use them. Open one you brought with you. You can use your app on your smartphone. And we'll go to Ruth. If you aren't sure where Ruth is, go to the Old Testament. It's before 1 Samuel, and it's right after Judges. It's the 8th book of the Old Testament. I would tell you where it is in my Bible, but I brought Gigantor. This has print that you can read from literally across the room. Why do they make Bible prints so small? Can't possibly be that I'm getting older. No. Okay, so let me give you the backstory while you find Ruth. This is about Naomi and her husband, Elimelech. And they live in Judah in the town of Bethlehem. And they're going through a famine. It's a very bad time. So Elimelech decides to move across the sea, across the river, to Moab, where there is no famine. There's plenty of food. But these folks are good Jewish people. They believe in God. And they go across the river to a place where there are so many gods that are believed in that it's kind of difficult. They're strangers in a strange land. So the family gets settled. And what happens? Elimelech dies. He just dies. So here's Naomi, and she has two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, but no husband. So some time passes. It doesn't tell us exactly how much, but some time goes by. The boys grow up, and they marry Moabite women. And they're married, both of them, for about 10 years. And then both of the sons die. So now Naomi is left with two daughters-in-law, and that's it. No one to support her. And back in this time of history, if you didn't have a husband, it was really pretty tough. You know, it's about 3,000 years ago. Back about the time my husband was born. Oh, no, that was the Pleistocene era. I'm sorry. Just kidding, Larry. You know, the social rules were different back then. So Naomi had to make some very serious decisions. And what she decided was she was going to go back home to Bethlehem to her family. And someone had told her that the Lord had been there and had provided food for them. So the famine was over. And she thought, great, I'll go home. So she got her daughters-in-law and she said, I want you to go back to your mothers. Maybe you'll be able to find husbands, and I'll go back to Bethlehem. And the girl said, no, we don't really want to do that. We want to come with you. Well, Naomi was insistent and tried very hard to talk them out of making this journey. It wasn't going to be an easy journey by any stretch of the imagination, women alone crossing the desert. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. So she prayed over them. And she said, may the Lord deal kindly with you. Now, I know you've heard this before because Hal talks about it. Kindly is the Hebrew word for hesed. And it means God's loyal, steadfast, covenantal love for his people. So she really wanted to bless these young women. She really wanted the best for her daughters-in-law. But again, they both said, no, we're not going to do it. So Naomi pulls out all the stuff. She says, even if I could get married, right? Now, she's an older woman. Even if I could get married and I had sons, are you going to wait till they grow up so you can marry them? I mean, really, seriously, are you going to do that? And Orpah kind of, I'm not so sure that's a good idea. So Orpah decides she's going back to her family. Ruth, nope. Ruth digs her heels in. She says, no, I'm not going anywhere except with you. So Orpah kisses her mother-in-law and she heads back to her own town. And Naomi continues to try and convince Ruth to go back, but Ruth is having none of that. And that's where we pick up in the text, chapter 1, verse 16. It says, but Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. Wow. Those are some powerful statements. Would you agree? Yeah? Where you go, I go. Where you die, I die. I don't know that I ever would have said that. I'm not sure. Did I ever say that to you? Yeah, I probably told my husband I'd go where he go, but it's hard. That's hard stuff. So here's a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, and they're just so bonded, and they're so tight, and they love each other so much, and there's so much trust and so much faithfulness, and they go on their journey. Let me take a minute and talk about mothers-in-law. Who here has a mother-in-law? Raise your hand. Ooh, look at all those hands. Okay, who here is a mother-in-law? Raise your hand. Wow. Why do mothers-in-law have such a bad reputation? What is that all about? Are you guys really nasty? Are all of you mean to your daughters-in-law? This is what we see on TV. This is what society teaches us. We see this in movies, these horrible women who hate the fact that their son got married and they want to take their son back, so they do everything they can to trip up the daughter-in-law. That's not how God designed it. Trust me. God wants mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law to be loving relationships. A mother-in-law should be able to pass things down. She has a daughter now. She can say, here's pictures from your husband's childhood, or here's his favorite recipe. I know this will make him happy. It shouldn't be adversarial at all, and I really feel bad for people who do have relationships like that. And this also applies to fathers-in-law and sons-in-law and, you know, sisters-in-law and brothers. You guys aren't getting off easy either. All of you should be having good, strong relationships. So if you find that you do have an adversarial relationship with one of your in-laws, let me ask you to stop and think for a while about how much God loves you. He loves the mother-in-law. He loves the daughter-in-law. Ask him to provide whatever is necessary to restore this relationship, to make this a godly relationship, and then follow his guidance. Because life is too short, people, to not like who you're related to. It's just too short. Making connections and establishing relationships is just critical. It's so important. Who's your most important relationship with? God, absolutely. God models relationships every day through his son, Jesus Christ. And yet it can get a little sticky. I mean, if you can build up relationships with people, you can build up a relationship with God. If you can build up a relationship with God, you can build up a relationship with people. But sometimes it crosses. And you have problems with the people around you. And sometimes, frankly, we have problems with God, don't we? We get on shaky ground. I can't pray today, God. I'm sorry, I'm busy. I'll do it later, I promise. Love you, mean it. God, I can't help that person over there. Don't you know this is the day I go shopping for new shoes? Really, I'll help the next one that comes along, I promise. Relationships are hard, and even relationships with God. I think you get the idea. From the few verses in the book of Ruth, I think Naomi is more like a mother than just a mother-in-law. It's apparent Ruth loves her very, very much. She wishes to die where Naomi dies and be buried where Naomi is buried. It's sometimes difficult for me to wrap my head around that kind of love, the depth of that love. Sadly for me, my mother-in-law and father-in-law both died before I married Larry. I never had an opportunity to meet them, and I would love to have known them. I would love to have been able to sit at the kitchen table with coffee and hear stories of his childhood and get recipes for food he loves. I think that would have been wonderful, and it's just a shame. Oh, sure, I sat down with his friends, and I got some stories, but they're not the kind of stories you can repeat. And I'm sure my mother-in-law would not have repeated it either. And, you know, some people say to me when I tell them I don't have a mother-in-law, they go, "Wow, you are so lucky. Do you know how lucky you are? You don't have to put up with that." And that makes me sad, because it's a sad commentary on our society to automatically assume the worst of mothers-in-law or fathers-in-law. It's just very sad. As we talk about relationships here today, I'd like to share with you some personal testimony about why in the past I had such difficulty with deep, loving relationships. You know, a mother's or a father's deep love for their child just seems to come natural these days. We have so many wonderful moms and dads here, and you see them with their babies, and there's touching and hugging and loving and playing going on. Well, in my childhood, that wasn't modeled for me. We didn't touch. We weren't affectionate. Dad was never home, and my mother was an alcoholic. So I didn't really get a lot of that, and I didn't understand what to do with it when it did occur. My mother died when I was 4 years old. The last words I remember her saying, she stood in front of my room while I was playing with dolls at my table, and she turned to her mother and she said, "I cannot love this child." That's what I heard. That stayed with me for many years. I was convinced I was unlovable. I mean, really, what mother can't love her own child? This is just horrible. So let's fast forward a little bit up to my late teens and my 20s, where, you know, I know there's no love for me, and so I'm going down the wrong path, and I'm hanging out with the wrong people, and I'm heading off to Woodstock and doing all these crazy wacko things. And then God placed some people in my life to show me his great love. Thank you, God. Without the grace of God, I wouldn't be here today. I really mean that. Jesus changed my life through the love of others that was shown to me. And I'm forever grateful to him for that. One of these people he put in my life was my spiritual best friend, Kathy. I met Kathy when she took a job where I was working. We shared a large office together. We would often eat lunch together. There was just something about this woman I couldn't quite put my finger on, but I just didn't want to leave her. I just wanted to be around her all the time. I was drawn to her like a moth to a flame. She was 20 years older than me. She was a single mom. She had 4 kids, and her mother lived with her. So this is kind of busy lady for me to be hanging on to her, but I insinuated my way into her life and eventually became known as her eldest kid. I spent all my time at that house. I was always over there. If Kathy was gone or the kids were gone, I'd sit down and play cards with her mother, who I affectionately called G-Maw. It didn't matter. I felt like I belonged. For the first time in my life, I had a home. And yet my parents lived about 2 miles away. Kathy, sweet Kathy, she took me to Mass. Every Saturday night, she took me to Mass. She called it Vigil Mass. I called it Vigilante Mass because I knew it irritated her. But I started learning about God and Jesus. And over the course of about 8 years, she kept modeling Christ-like behavior for me. And I realized I wanted what she had. You see, Kathy was my version of a Naomi, and I was her Ruth. She became a mother figure to me, and she loved me selflessly for many years and taught me how to love others. I fully credit this devout Catholic woman with turning my heart back to Jesus. We had a relationship of love and trust and loyalty and faithfulness. I wanted her God to be my God. I almost converted to Catholicism, but I didn't. The way she spoke of her faith journey made me say, I want what she has. I want that relationship with Jesus. So just like Ruth and Naomi, if possible, I would have followed Kathy anywhere. I'm firmly convinced Jesus put her in my path to draw me closer to him. And Kathy and I were spiritual best friends for almost 40 years. 3 years ago, as Larry and I were making preparations to come here to Florida, Kathy passed away. I am still grieving. I don't know that I will ever get past that. She was that big an influence on my life. My point here is to give yourself completely to God in your relationship with God. Give yourself completely to people in your relationship with people. It's part of love God, love people, pass it on. It really makes sense. Over the past week, Hal's been teaching us about finishing well. I think he's been doing a great job. I really enjoy listening to him, and I'm sure you can't wait till he gets back. To me, to finish well means you've got to foster and maintain these healthy, godly relationships around you. You can let go of the toxic ones. Everybody's got someone around them somewhere who's toxic. You don't have to be their best friend. Just love them. Pray for them. Ask God to unharden their heart. But you don't have to let any of their toxicity drain down on you. Please don't. I've been there. It's not fun. Loving God is pretty easy. How can we not love him? But it means that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. And in this relationship, you long for more. You want more of Jesus. You want to know more. You want to hear more. You want to learn to pray more. You just long to be together. You want to spend time with him. This is your most rewarding relationship. And I just want to encourage you to nurture it. To take the time, turn off the TV, put the magazine down. You can go play later. Can you just give an hour, maybe a half hour, to God in your day? That's all. There's plenty of hours in a day if you can just share a little with him. I like to start my day with God before I get out of bed because it makes my day go better. If I jump out of bed and I'm not talking to God, you know what? I have a rotten day. I mean, really, that's the day that everything goes wrong. That's, you know, the kind of day that, like, this stuff, you know, you just trip and fall. Although I did talk to God this morning. But usually that's the day where I find I come unglued. For those of you who took the unglued class, I will come unglued with people. I'll be in my car and, oh, it's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. So make sure that you include him every day, every day. When it comes to loving people, that's a whole different kettle of fish. Mark 12:30, Jesus commands, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And he goes on further to command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do y'all love your neighbors? Every single one of them? Yeah, love them all? Okay, I don't need to go over this then. We know God loves us, and it's easy for us to return his love, right? James 1:17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of lights. So we know God is good, and we love him unreservedly. And yes, sometimes, as I said before, we kind of put him off to do other things, but we still love him. It's a fact of life that we let him down all the time. We also please him, but there's a lot of times we let him down. When we pass over someone in need, God just shakes his head. Linda, why didn't you stop? When we don't tithe or put something in the offering box, except for you newcomers, you don't have to do that. God just shakes his head and says, why? Why won't you share your money? When we refuse to open our homes to people, God says, why? I gave you that home. Open it. Share it. Share everything you have. Because none of it is yours. It all belongs to me. And I have given it to you to use wisely. So let's stop taking God for granted. And instead, send up praise and gratitude to heaven. And let's not start our prayers with Jesus I need or Jesus I want. Let's start by thanking him. It's a relationship and it takes effort. So that's okay, but what about the guy down the street who runs the 7-Eleven? This is the snarkiest man on the face of the earth. And you have to go in there every day to get a cup of coffee before you go to work. And he's rude and he's ugly. And God says you have to love him. I don't have to love him. I don't even like him. What do you do? What do you do? You pray for him, don't you? We pray for him. You smile. Because sometimes, even if someone is being a total horse's patoot, if you smile, it changes the dynamic. And things may settle down. And they may realize, oh, it's not so bad after all. I'll just, you know, I'll smile too. It really does. A smile will change things. We need to pray for these people that we find difficult in our life. Pray for God to give us the ability to love them in whatever way we possibly can. If it means taking food or just stopping and talking, spending time with them, ask for God to help you. Don't just walk away and say, I can't stand this person, so I'm not going to talk to him ever again. I'll go find another 7-Eleven. No, God wants you to love that one. Ask God to unharden hearts. Ask God for his spirit to fill these people. What about a neighbor? We had a neighbor in Ohio. Nice young kids. And the houses were close together. So without even telling us, they contracted to have mammoth pool, massive pool, took up the whole backyard, put in. They raised the yard, and there's like a 10-foot easement, right? So they put it right at the 10 feet between our properties. We had a big 6-foot fence, but it was right there at the property. And they raised it up so water carries sound, right? So they're out there playing and hooping and hollering, and I'm sitting on my back deck feeling like I'm right there in their party. And I'm thinking, why did we make a deck? We can't enjoy it. We got these yahoos over here. What do you do? We had some words. I'll be honest, we had some words. I mean, you know me. I'm so gentle. I did tell them exactly what I thought of what they did. And then God kind of said to me, Linda, tone it down a little bit and just forgive them. They don't realize that what they did really bothered you. So I took a different tack and just spoke with them about being nice neighbors. And we came to a compromise. When they were going to have a party, they would invite us. If we didn't go, they would still try and keep it down so that, you know, we could do whatever we needed to do. And they promised not to throw beer cans, you know, over the fence. So we made a compromise. Now, I had another neighbor in Ohio. I haven't had neighbors like this in Florida. Florida is so nice. This guy used to throw pork chop bones over the fence for my dog. And I didn't realize, this went on for a long time, and I didn't realize it. And one day I found her chewing on this bone, and I looked at it and I went, I haven't even made pork chops. Where did you find that? And the neighbor was in the back, and he said, oh, I gave it to her. We always give her bones. And I was just horrified. So I went over and I said, are you out of your mind? Don't you know bones like this can hurt the dog? And he looked so sad, and I said, I know you meant well. I know you had good intentions, but I would really appreciate it if you didn't do that anymore. Thanks. And I think the dog would appreciate it too, as she's on the ground going, trying to get the pork chop bone out of her mouth. But see, loving others is hard. It's something we all struggle with every day. We have to do it. We're commanded to love them as we love ourselves, as God loves us. We must rely on Christ to model this behavior for us. We read the word. We study relationships such as Naomi and Ruth. And we start living abundantly in Christ. You see, living abundantly has nothing to do with what you buy. It's about worshiping and praising God. That's living abundantly. It's about receiving his love, receiving his grace, his mercy, and then taking these same things and giving them away to others. That's living abundantly. If you love as Jesus loved, you can't help but finish well. John Wesley put it this way, do all the good you can in all the ways you can to all the souls you can, in every place you can, at all the times you can, as long as ever you can. I think that sums it up nicely. Ruth's faithfulness in Naomi is indicative of her love and loyalty. Naomi didn't want Ruth to follow her. She wanted Ruth to go back home. She knew she certainly couldn't provide sons. And Naomi asked her daughters-in-law. And they knew it just wasn't going to work. They couldn't wait 20 years, 15 years, however long it was when they got married. So Naomi and Ruth had lost so much. But to survive, they had to learn to lean on each other. They had to learn to extend themselves toward one another. Ruth knew that Naomi's God would provide for them, and she was not going to let Naomi travel alone. She clung to Naomi. She actually clung to her. I don't know the personal details of their 10 or 12 year relationship. It doesn't really tell us. But in my mind, Naomi was doing something right. She had to have been doing something right to get that type of love from her daughter-in-law. Let me share one more Kathy story. I have a million. I won't tell you all a million because we'd be here till next week. Many years ago, my father died. He had remarried shortly after my mother died. So we lived in Northern Virginia. And my stepmother's family all lived in Southern Maryland. So when Dad died, my stepmother decided that we would have visitation, funeral, everything down in Southern Maryland. It's February. The weather was bad. I didn't think it was a good idea, but, you know, nobody asked me. The only thing I cared about was that he died with full military honors. So we went down to the funeral home in Southern Maryland in the snow for visitation. And I was surrounded by a step family who really didn't have much to do with me. And they're all boo-hooing. And so I just kind of walked away and stayed by myself. And I was in the back of the room. And I looked up, and here comes, literally marching in, just back straight as can be, my friend Kathy with her daughter. And she walks right through the step family, never acknowledging a one. And she comes over to me and throws her arms around me, and she says, "I am here for you." I just lost it. I just lost it. She came all the way down in the bad weather to be with me. That's what relationships should be. Let me start wrapping this up for you. I told you you'll get out of here early. Ruth understood the practical wisdom of Naomi's advice when she tried to send her back to her mother. But Ruth had a tremendous love for Naomi, and her wish to obey God made her strong. She was committed. Remember, she said, "Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die." Ruth was saying, "I am here for you." If only all our relationships could be that strong. If you struggle in your life with relationships, if it's difficult for you to love people, your in-laws or anyone else, please pray. Seek God's wisdom. I know in my own life, I got off to a rocky start emotionally, relationship-wise. I had to do a lot of praying, and I had a lot of people who showed me and modeled for me, and I'm very grateful. As I've grown in my journey, God continues to bless me with people to love and people who love me. I'm so happy he sent me here to Florida and that he has provided such a loving, extended family of brothers and sisters in Christ to me. Although I don't have any children of my own, he has graciously given me spiritual kids here in Ohio and all over the world. It's a good thing. Please join me today in reaffirming and strengthening godly relationships in your life. Today, tell someone, "I am here for you." You can go ahead and stand.
We have a prayer team.
In back. And they want to pray with you. They really do. I can't emphasize this enough. I'm on the prayer team. I love to pray with you, whatever it is. If you have a situation in your life, if you have something weighing heavy on your heart, if you have an illness, please go back there. Let them pray with you. It's the greatest thing in the world to pray and be prayed with. And by chance, if today is the day that you wish to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please see the prayer team. They want to cover you in prayer to protect you. I want to leave you with a short prayer. It's out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.